Hello, everyone, and welcome to Global Expression Podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Global Expression Podcast. Today, we're sitting here with Wonhee, Tudor, and Daniel, and speaking about education. Introduce yourself, guys. My name is Gregory. I'm from Russia. I'm a freshman year at Lafayette.
What are you majoring?
I'm majoring in economics.
Oh, okay. Hi, I'm Wonhee. I'm from Korea, and I'm majoring in physics.
Hi, I'm Daniel, and I'm from China, and I'm also majoring in economics.
Hi, I'm Tudor. I'm from Bucharest, Romania, and I'm majoring in mechanical engineering.
Yeah, and we are all freshmen.
Freshman students. Yeah, we're all freshmen and we're all international. That's what we have in common. Yeah. So, because today we're talking about education, guys, do you want to briefly discuss like the educational system in your own country? Now it's kind of not like kind of different, but like, yeah, like basically describe it from kindergarten to like higher ed and master's degree and stuff. Sure. Who wants to begin?
I could start. So our education system is pretty much the same with slight differences in the entirety of Europe. So after kindergarten, you start primary school and secondary school, which are mostly combined into one. So that's 8 years. From 1 to 8th grade. And then you go into high school, you have to use your grades to pick a high school and apply to multiple high schools. And so you get into the one, you get accepted, and then you have 4 more years until you graduate.
Nice. So for us in Russia, it's a little bit different. So most of the education, basic education, is provided by the government. And there's always some like private sector, kindergarten and high schools and stuff. But usually, how it goes for like a real person in Russia, you get sent to a kindergarten. You go to the kindergarten, then you go to your like area local school, which usually combines all grades from 1st to 11th. You stay there for 11 years. You can always like transfer schools and stuff. You can do it like, there's a lot of bureaucracy involved, but like you can always transfer schools. You can go to a private school, but yeah, usually you're in school from 1st to 11th grade. It's usually the same school, usually the same classmates. So like primary school is from grade 1 to 4, secondary from 5th to 8th, and high school is from grade 9 to grade 11. Then you go to like to universities. You have to do like state exams, and you get your like degree from high school. Get your state exam results and apply to different universities during the summer. Mm-hmm. Basically, yeah, you complete 4 years of university degree, and then you go either you go into like do your master's, mm-hmm. or you start working and do the master's later. This is like kind of similar to the United States.
I see. So, in Korea, like we usually have like 2 years of kindergarten and 6 years of elementary school. And when we go to the middle school, we count as grade one, grade second, like grade third. And also in high school, we only have 3 years of high school, grade like first and second and third. And then we usually take a like kind of a big test, like one big exam, which is called like kind of KSAT. And take that and go to the university or college, and that's the usual process. Or if you're not like really if you want to take the test again, you can, but like you have to wait for another year to take that again. So yeah, it's kind of intense.
So for what I'm from Shanghai, we have like 5 years of primary school. Or for many other places in China, we have like 6 years of primary school. And in Shanghai, there's 4 years of second school, and for the rest, it's like 3 years. It does not make a difference, and there's like 3 years of high school. So basically, you would have a standardized test that's organized by the government every year that will phase to secondary schools and also high schools and for college applications. So you could basically have your results, and then you could just like choose the schools based on what you got.
Yeah.
And for college, it's also 4 years, and you'll choose based, you'll choose a college based on what you got from your Gaokao, which is every student will attend the Gaokao after they graduated from high school.
Nice. So after high school comes college, and how was the admissions process for you? Like, what did you find the most difficult, like language tests or SAT perhaps, or like composing your essays and activities? For me, it was the SAT mostly, because it was difficult for me to face like the time constraints, because like I can solve every question, but in the time limit, it goes crazy. What about you guys?
Yeah, and as you said, like the time limit is kind of harder. I assume we all took the digital SAT.
Yeah, right? Yeah, because we're international and we started taking it when it was ACT, digital.
But yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean, SAT, ACT, almost the same thing except for the science part.
Yeah, but like I would always have time left over on the first part of math or English, mm-hmm. and then I so would true. Have to struggle to finish the second part.
So true, so true.
Yeah. But like the SAT for me was also a bit complicated because it's a whole new system. Like in Romania, you have to finish your final exam, your baccalaureate, and then that's it. Okay. And you have 3 hours for that, and you have 3 hours for all of the problems. So you don't have to structure them like in the SAT.
Yeah, the same for like Russian state exams, because like even like English language test is so much more simpler. You totally get that, because like it's Russian, like English language, whatever. But like for the Russian and Russian exam, you have around 4 hours for like 20-ish questions and an essay. And for math, you have like 25 short answer problems and 6 long answer problems. Long answer problems really take time. It's like some really complicated algebra and geometry, like tough stuff. Probably like Calc 2 level, maybe even Calc 3. Start level of Calc 3, yeah. But you also have like 4.5 hours for that. Yeah, and like you really take your time solving that.
Yeah, but that's what I like about our system. Also, it's weird how you don't really have to finish high school to take the SAT. Yeah. Like Americans start taking the SAT like from the 9th grade, maybe.
Yeah, start preparing grade 9, probably take it like first time summer between grade 10 and 11, I think. Or like grade 11... October, November, December, something like that.
Yeah, they have a lot of time to get like acclimated to the SAT.
Yeah. Speaking about the SAT, Daniel, do you want to add something?
Well, like I feel that the SAT math was kind of simple for me because I've studied harder math in like high school, but I found like the grammar was like so frustrating for me because I really don't feel a difference, honestly. It's just too hard for me, the grammar.
Thinking about my process of like applying to the school was kind of hard for me because like I wasn't expecting to go to college in the United States at all, actually. It was my first time to prepare all the essays. And especially like when preparing for the ACT I actually took it this year, like February, because, yeah, it was like I prepared for like applying to schools at January. So, yeah, it was kind of late for me. So I think like preparing essays and like retaking all the exams in English was kind of hard for me. Yeah,
I get it. Yeah, it's when the transition from one language to another is like so fast, you cannot adjust to it as quickly as hard. As professionally, you know.
Yeah, and another exam that sucked. Did you ever take the TOEFL exam?
TOEFL,
I did the practice TOEFL, but I always took IELTS.
Yeah,
I've done like 3-ish attempts.
The TOEFL like genuinely sucks, just because it's all online. So you're not like the writing and reading sections are fine, but when you talk, when the speaking section, you have to talk to a computer and you have like a timer and you're not talking to anyone, it's just a screen. And
same thing with Duolingo test.
Yeah, like don't like that, it's very confusing.
I took Duolingo to, like, just in case, closer to like 81 last year in like late October, just like to support my IELTS score, whatever. And the speaking part was so weird. No, Duolingo English test.
Duolingo. Oh, I get it.
IELTS was all right, though I took IELTS a few times. Just like because one of my scores was expired, because I took it like 3 or 4 years ago for some summer program or whatever.
Well, I don't know what kind of environment did you guys took the TOEFL test? So we basically had like a large classroom with like 100, with like 50 people inside that they're speaking at the same time. And I just cannot control myself not to listen to what they're talking about. And it's so painful that every time I got distracted when I'm speaking.
That must have sucked, yeah. Honestly.
It actually sucks.
Because like in IELTS, you could get either like an in-person speaker.
Yeah.
Or you could do the speaking via Zoom, but you still talk with the real person.
Yeah.
And the Zoom speaking was amazing. It was perfect. Yeah, because I got a guy from England with perfect British accent, and I could understand him easily, and he could understand me, though I have American, but like, it was amazing.
Yeah, like for me, the TOEFL was different. Like I didn't take it in a room with more people. I took it at home, and I had to have two cameras connected to my computer. Like one pointed towards my face
and one like from the side.
Yeah, from the side. So
like, so you're not cheating.
Yeah. So yeah. I had to like kick my family out of the house and like sit in the living room.
You kicked them out?
Yeah. So like sit in my living room and like talk to a screen for 2 hours.
This must have been weird.
Yeah.
Okay. So now when we talk about the admissions. How do you like Lafayette and like the United States overall? Like maybe some sparks or events that happened in the past 2 months that we're here.
For the like admissions, I really like that. Like we're not only judged by the score, but like we're also judged by our essays or what we did
and activities in high school, as well. Yeah.
Activities as well. Like, so I really liked that they kind of what was I gonna say? Like they take all of the information about us, so that was really good for me.
Like what do you find interesting about like the United States and the education in the United States? Any sparks that or events or like whatever that happened?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm gonna talk. So I think that in the U.S. education system, they value us as a person, but not as a student.
That was. Exactly what
so,
I was.
So like back in China, we were just like basically judged by our school and by our scores, and they do not really care about like what kind of person you are. Mm-hmm. And it feels like much better when like the US education system would like judge me as a person, that they will look at my activities and what I did in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And also something about LAF is that I feel that I'm more comfortable in like a kind of in like a smaller school because I get like more opportunities to talk with like professors, which back in China, the most of like, not most, like all of our colleges were like large universities, and we do not have like much opportunities to talk with professors. So like in here, I could go to office hours and the professors would be like pretty free.
Yeah.
And for like big, large universities, so I had a friend in Berkeley and he tried to sign up for a office hour, and it was like three like weeks later, which I feel like is much better here that I could just like talk to the professors immediately.
Yeah, that's the benefit of small liberal arts school.
Yeah, and like professors remember our name, and like
third week, all of my professors knew my name, and I was like, hell yeah. No, adding to Daniel's point about the like student slash personal judgment, I also like that about the United States that. If you like fail a class in high school or something, you can always like either explain it or like balance it out with your activities and essays.
Mm-hmm.
They still look at you as a student. Like you cannot get like a 2.0 GPA and 1,100 SAT and get into Harvard. Maybe like in theory, maybe, but I don't think so. It's not realistic. But yeah, when they consider your background. That's amazing because in Russia, you still, I told you, you bring your degree, you bring your test scores, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the same for Romania. And depends on like what your test scores are, judges if you get in and if you have to pay for college.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are.
Yeah, the same thing in Russia. You can get like kind of financial aid, but it's not from the college, it's from the government.
Yeah, so there are a couple of spots that you can get in that are unpaid, that you just get in and go study. Then there are like three times the spots that you have to pay for. It's not that expensive. It's like 1,000 a year, like for the polytechnic.
Compared to Lafayette.
But like still, I think Lafayette like offers really a lot of financial aid, especially also to like international students, which really made me choose this
That was also a turning point for me as well. I think for many of our international students.
Lafayette like gave me more than half than other colleges would give me.
That's great. That's great, yeah. Where did you apply mostly, by the way?
Sorry?
Where did you apply? Like, name drop some schools that you applied to last year.
Oh, I would have to pull up my document.
Like, I don't really remember, but, like, most of it were, like, liberal arts college because, like, why I was interested in, like, college in United States because like, they had liberal arts college, which they don't have it in Korea. So, yeah, mostly. But, like, all over the country, actually, because I didn't have any preference for any region. So, yeah, but, like, after getting admitted, I got to know about the, like, states. And, like, some said, this state is dangerous. You might not want to go there.
This state is dangerous. So, and this is Texas, and this is California.
So, like, I actually choose here because, like, the location is also great. And I love
Jersey's in 10 minutes, and everything is legal in Jersey.
Yeah.
Safe and sound.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. The turning point for me was really financially because, like, I applied to a whole different range of schools.
Like, can you drop?
I can name drop NYU, WashU, whatever. What did I apply to? Dartmouth as well. Chicago, Chicago. Like, from the top, maybe Boston, Miss University, Boston College, USC. But yeah, I think the turning point was the financial aid because those big private colleges do not offer, but not that much of a financial aid.
I agree. What about you, Daniel?
So for my turning point of choosing schools and applying to schools, I hope that I could find a pace of study that I'm most comfortable with. So I've applied most of my schools were like liberal arts schools, so I feel that I could have like a more comfortable style of study that I could find out when I'm entering like basically a new environment. So I applied to a lot of liberal arts schools and I chose Lafayette in the end.
And like we can talk about the midterm we took.
I also had a very interesting question about the major because like we already name dropped our majors like econ, physics, econ, Mechie. How are you exploring the field in your major? I mean, I understand that we're still, like, freshmen and we're only 2 months into college, but, like, what do you do? You're, like, to your major outside of the class. I'm interested. Because, like, I got into research with my econ professor. Very interesting research about macroeconomics and politics. Not super easy, but, like, it's amazing. I loved it. I wrote, like, a 3.5K word case study about Turkey. And I just love it. I spent 3 days, I almost killed myself, but no, that's amazing. What else? There are not many clubs, econ-related clubs, though. Do you agree with me?
Well, like, there's only an investment club.
Investment in real estate.
But, like, honestly, most of the time they were, like, talking about, like, opportunities of finding jobs. So I don't think it's that helpful for a freshman.
Yeah, it's not helpful for a freshman. It's more helpful for a sophomore and definitely a junior. Mostly for sophomores because, like, most of like business and finance related applications are for internships are opening like mid sophomore. I don't know. I'm also a little bit confused about networking in Lafayette. I still cannot figure it out because I heard different opinions. I heard that networking here is amazing and it's like kind of a target school for some institutions, like banks mostly. But from what I see, I don't see much of a connect with that. But I don't know if you guys know Professor Bukic. She was the longest female serving Lafayette staff. She was econ professor for 42 years. She quit last year, but she's still doing like something with Dyer Center. So I just had an amazing opportunity to talk with her. And she told me that, like, go speak with the career counselor. And, like, I might do that next week. I mean, I will do that next week because, I mean, if you're given an opportunity, go explore it. You're paying for college, dude. What about you guys?
Like, you do something in Dyer Center.
Oh, yeah. I am a Dyer fellow. So that means that we get kind of these lectures-ish. Like, there are 10 Dyer fellows, and you get these lectures every week or every 2 weeks. So, and that they teach us how to think like an entrepreneur. Not really how to start a business, but how to think as an entrepreneur.
That's sick.
So,
Yeah, that's cool.
I feel like the most important part, like the most beneficial part for me, was that in the first year, like the most beneficial part in the first year is that they give us a budget, like $4,000, which we can invest in our own projects.
That's great. Do
Wow,
you have any
that's amazing.
projects in mind?
Oh, yeah, I am working on a glove right now that has a motor on each finger, so it can help like rehabilitation for patients.
Wow.
Yeah, so the good thing about the Dyer Center, like the budget, is that even though it's kind of your money because you're paying the money to the college and they're giving it back to you, but
But
it's like,
still.
yeah, it's not that you could spend, like, if I were to have that money in my bank account, I would not really spend it on this because I would think it could be more of a waste. But if I have this money that's only spendable on my project, I have to use it for my project, and that's like boosts it a bit.
I mean, you have your company's your project budget and you operate it. That's what you got to do as an entrepreneur. I think that's the vital part of entrepreneurship.
Yeah, but on the professor part, as you said, I've had a bit of trouble with professors replying in time. Like, it usually takes a week and 2 or 3 follow-up reply to my emails.
My
But
professor didn't reply for me in a month.
yeah. But
In
what I
a
learned is
month,
that,
dude.
yeah, you can go to their offices when they have office hours and just like burst in and like ask them questions. Maybe not like scold them for not replying.
For me, I'm actually like about to start the research program actually in winter, I guess. Like, so I'm in a kind of learning process. So it's basically about the graphene ripple and how we can produce harvest energy with the graphene ripple, because like it kind of like moves it itself. So like maybe we can make the electricity with that without like any batteries and stuff. So I think that's a really interesting research, and
Definitely.
I might start in winter. And I'm actually like just like learning the codes and stuff, like how to make the structure in Mathematica and stuff. So yeah, I'm just a beginner, so I hope I could
We all are.
start. Yeah, we all are, but like still, I hope I can start it this winter.
So from what I've did in economics related stuff, I did not start any kind of research programs, but I'm reading books about like finance and also investments. And I will read the reports from like an app about the finance stock market in my phone each week. So to
I mean,
learn
you're
how to.
exploring the field. I'm also doing the exact same thing, and that's crucial for like personal and career development because like what else you can do as a freshman?
Well, yeah, because like
For
there.
the most of it, you're just trying to get knowledge and then implement it.
Yeah, because like no companies would like hire a freshman as like.
Some might, but like you have to be realistic about that.
Yeah, it's too hard, honestly, for a freshman.
What I'm trying to do now is like message, like email different engineers at different companies so I can talk to them a bit and maybe
Cold emailing, hell yeah.
like they will push like the thing. Like, so the company would want to do the paperwork and stuff. Because the paperwork, I feel like, is the most like hard part of hiring an international student.
I mean, technically, you shouldn't worry about that. You're a freshman year, but closer to your junior slash senior, this networking and like holy man would be the turning point, I think. If you have someone to advocate for you.
But I feel like if you start now, like building the
Yeah, of
network
course. Of
now.
course, you have to build your network since day one. I agree with that. That's like why I'm going to a networking event in New York City on November 20th at JLL. Thank you, Realistic Club, for organizing this thing. It's an amazing opportunity to connect with our alumni, with other graduates, and spend the night, and not a night, but an evening in JLL's office in New York City. That's amazing. So, guys, we just talked about like us exploring the feel of our major outside of the class, but what makes you passionate about the major you selected? Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. So, firstly, my dad is working in like finance and investment related jobs. So, I was like talking to him a lot when I was young, so I got interested in economics automatically. So what I've sought after, I've got interested in economics. So I found that it's a major and a subject to learn more about the world, which if you want to be if you want to do investment in like later careers, you would have to keep up your information with what's happening around in the world. So I feel that it could help me to learn more along with like how the world is developing and how the world is going around us. So I just feel that it's quite interesting.
For me, so why I majored in physics. So I was actually interested in astronomy first because like about the universe and all the stars and galaxy stuff. But actually I found out that like the physics is more fundamental part of the universe, like from tiny particles from like all the way to universe. So I think it was like a re I think it's a really so interesting subject to study about. And yeah, I'm especially interested about the dark matters and dark energy because we don't know nothing about it. And I think it would be so great if I'd be part of the like the people who studies it. Yeah, so
For me, I'm also an econ major. I don't know. I used to be a bio and chem for a long time, for like 3 years, but 2 years ago I switched to econ. And I did that because I'm interested that I don't want to explore people and like the society and the humanity in terms of sciencey stuff. I want to explore them in terms of like social science and human interactions and communications and stuff. Because like the basic definition of economics is a social science that studies the behavior of individuals under the conditions of scarcity. And yeah, I just wanted to study the behavior, but not the sciencey part itself. Yeah, but like further on, I'm also really interested in some finance related career. Maybe like financial consulting, not corporate finance, but like financial consulting or something investment related. Yeah, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes because it's only freshman year and it's too
Yeah,
early to say about it, I think.
we have a bunch of
We
years
have a plenty of
left.
time to figure it out.
And
What about you, Tudor?
For me, like I always enjoyed building cool stuff. Like that's like the base. So then I started like building my own projects, and then I got a VR headset, and that was really, really interesting to me. And then I saw Ready Player One, which is a really good movie. I
Oh,
recommend it.
did you read the book?
Not yet. I'm half through it, but then like
You didn't?
I
Bro,
have to, I have to.
do it. It's so much better than the movie.
Is it?
Movie is amazing.
Dude.
It's so much better.
I have to finish that then. Yeah. But then I started like I saw that void that's like in the movie, but not here. So I started like building hardware for it. And like I started some projects, but I couldn't do the software because it got so frustrating. I was like, nah. So yeah, I stayed on the hardware side and kept going.
Oh, I see. Like talking about the movies, actually, I was really fascinated about the movie Interstellar, and I think like that's why, I think that's the
Yeah, I get
start
it.
of
I
like
get
why
it.
I got interested in through black holes and stuff. Yeah, so it's definitely popped out of my mind.
Was there something left for you, Daniel?
Yeah,
No.
not really. Not
So
really.
that was a source of inspiration mostly.
Yeah, basically.
Coming back to high school, guys, did you think about your major in high school and like what did you do? Like maybe it was something like national curriculum related, or you've done like AP, IB with your like subjects that you're majoring in now. Because I've done International Baccalaureate program with four HL subjects and three SL subjects. I was doing high level subjects in econ, business management, mathematics, and English.
Yeah, like for me, I also do the AB. So I had my high levels more of on the sciences part. So I've had computer science, I've had physics and mathematics. And then on the standard level side, I've had business management,
BMFM.
German and English
You took
language
German.
literature. Yeah,
Deutsch.
yeah, not really.
What's going on?
So for me,
Tranquila, tranquila.
I took AP exams, like only two subjects, like the crazy part is that, like, I took it this year, May.
Really?
Yeah.
You just took the APs?
Yeah, like, so I prepared it really, really short. So what I took was Physics 2 and Calc BC. So I think I was already...
That's how you get credits for Calc 2.
Yeah, actually. So I was already familiar with all the physics and math stuff, but the hard thing was, like, memorizing the term once again in English because I wasn't...
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea, like, even I can't still pronounce it. Derivative. Yeah. So, like, I learned that term the first time when I was studying AP. So, like, yeah, it was kind of hard for me, but, like, still, I knew the math, so I think it was fine.
Yeah, adding on, in Russian, term derivative is called производная, and it just doesn't sound like derivative at all.
And in Korean, it's 미적분. So it
No, I had a hard time connecting these two meanings.
Yeah,
like that. They're the same thing. They're the same thing, essentially.
In Romanian, it's derivato. Mm-hmm. It's like
the same thing. Yeah. So that's like easy for you.
I like that word.
Prezvodne.
What about you, Daniel? So you went to the boarding school, so were you already familiar with English?
Well, mm-hmm. honestly, not at all. Because like I studied like IB HL Math, but it's supposed to taught in English, but our teacher was like Chinese, but and she does not really care, just like taught us in Chinese, and we understand it better, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
And it's actually pretty painful when I come here that I need to study like mathematics in English.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I also went to boarding school, and I've done IB for the last 2 years, and we were like only English taught, except for like Russian literature.
Oh, really?
Yeah, all other language subjects were like English taught because like that's the point of IP, no?
Yeah, I mean, we were supposed to be taught in English. But
we were taught in English. We had a lot of like native speakers as teachers.
Like for us, it was like 75% English.
More than half.
75% Romanian and 25% English.
Teachers were international at the time, so I'm pretty familiar with that stuff. And it's not very complicated for me to transition from like my high school to the United States and college and stuff.
Yeah, so we had a thing that happened. So we had a student out of Belarus that came to study IB at our school. And because he only studied 11 classes in Belarus, and most colleges in Europe need
require 12 there.
Yeah, so he couldn't apply. So he went to take IB in our school. Because like it is supposed to be taught in English, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the teacher...
It was not.
It was not. The professors... Mm-hmm. Like had a hard time actually speaking English.
Oh.
So they would always complain about how it's hard and like yeah. So like the guy from Belarus is visa expired and he went back, and then when he got a visa back, like the school didn't really want him back because the professor were complaining having to speak English all of the time.
I mean that's the professor's problem. IB is supposed to be done in English and because in many countries, it's not taught in English. That's the crucial point of the average score being 33 or like 32 out of 45. Just because students don't understand half the problems. And like, the thing is that I saw in other IB schools in Moscow, though they're also taught in English, they do not practice papers.
Oh.
No one practices papers. We've done paper practice every single week starting from October TP1.
Mm-hmm.
Starting from the second month of doing IB. We're doing past papers or like practice papers, which are basically composed by our teachers, but they're exactly the same as past papers every week. That's how like we get 43 out of 45.
Yeah, I mean, I've had my fair share of good and bad teachers. Like my business management teacher was really good. Like he would give us this website that's like, he was like, this website has like stolen papers. Do not use this website. Like the link is this. Do not use this website. But then, like, there are also pretty bad teachers. Like, our computer science teacher, she wasn't a computer science teacher. She was a physics professor that, like,
And she tried to teach you to write Java.
Yeah, it was her first time teaching computer science.
Oh,
and
my God.
It was Java, so, like, one of the most annoying languages to learn.
Yeah.
So I pretty much had to tutor all of my, like, classmates.
Because you knew it already? Or, because you understood it?
Like, I understood the concepts of, like, and she... didn't really understand them.
Oh.
So I had to like explain to my
classmates. I have the same thing with computer science at Lafayette. I teach it myself.
Yeah.
I learned it myself, because the prof...
What language do you learn?
That doesn't help. Python.
Python.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Me too. It's actually the easiest to learn.
It's easiest to learn because it's more like actual English.
Yeah, and because it's so easy, like a lot of people wrote libraries for it, so a lot of stuff is way easier in Python than in any other language.
Yeah, I'm actually teaching myself.
But like, I think that coding now is mostly like vibe coding, not actual coding, because like you have a ton of AIs that could help you. And this is like my view on the approach to like computer science education, but I think computer science students should be taught how to utilize AI correctly and not how to like exactly read the code, because like in 10 years, I think if the development's not going to stop or like something's going to happen to NVIDIA.
We're slightly out of topic. But
I'm still talking about education though.
Yeah, it's still education. So,
So like, now going back to Lafayette College, how was it different than what you expected coming here?
I didn't expect it to be in the middle of nowhere. Where the nearest grocery is 30 minutes away by the bike, and the bus goes like every other hour. And
did I expect that's a little bit drives me crazy. To get on a train and be in New York in like 30 minutes?
Not 30, but like 40, 50, all right.
And like spend maybe 10, 15 bucks and get there.
That's the reality of public transport in America. But overall, I think that like Lafayette environment and like being in the countryside and in the rural area kind of motivates you to study, because like...
Yeah.
Well, I actually think that for a school, I feel better when it's in like in the middle of nowhere, because I feel like more comfortable during night, because like when I went to New York, I'm kind of afraid when I go out at night, and and I'm now on campus, I feel pretty safe, honestly.
Yeah, it is really safe here.
I mean, you're coming from a safe place called China. I'm coming from not very safe place called Russia, and walking around at night at like southern or like northern parts of Moscow, like where like the sleeping areas are, where like people just like live, that's it, nothing goes on there. But like, you can face some really creepy stuff out there.
Like what?
We're talking about education.
Okay, like because actually.
But yeah, I don't know. I just like being in the city more. Mm-hmm. Because I grew up in the city and it's always been around, and just I'm not used to being somewhere, I don't know where. Yeah.
I mean, if I would have studied in Romania at the Polytechnic in Bucharest, I would have been like an hour maximum away from anywhere in the city.
From anywhere else in Europe.
Yeah, exactly. Like, almost, yeah. I mean, I'm happy that they made the direct flight to Romania. That's like 200 bucks one way.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
It's direct 200 bucks one way. So like for 400 bucks.
Flying for 900.
Yeah, it actually costs like more than $900 for me.
And I'm not going to Russia. I'm going to Spain. And it's a direct flight. It's a round trip, but still almost $1,000 for...
Whoa, okay.
Flying so from New York
to my country this winter.
You're staying on campus?
Yeah, I'm staying on campus.
I mean, it's a good opportunity to explore your field and do some work, get a job or whatever. I mean, find a job for an interim break. There's definitely something going on.
I think I'll do like animal caretaker.
Oh, that's sick. I mean, you can go to New York, you can go whatever, whenever, I don't know, for the most part of it.
Yeah.
What about you, Daniel?
Well, I'm going back to China this winter, and I think I'm going to find an internship somewhere there if they accept me.
Because we have a long break, like 6 weeks.
Yeah, it is long. I think I'm going back for there for like, staying in my hometown for like 40 days or something. It's kind of long. I wasn't expecting that long, to be honest.
Yeah, me too. But I'm coming back on the 20th, though. Because our Gateway Career Center is doing like Career Tracks program, and they have an in-person program about finance in New York City on 21st and 22nd. So, yeah, I'll probably just come back early, like 19th, 20th, and stay in New York for a week. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today, speaking about education in our Global Expression podcast. We were here together with Danielle Wonhe, me, Gregory, and Tudor. Thank you so much, guys, for joining, and see you in the next episode.
Okay. Thank you so
much. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on the Global Expression podcast presented by the EAP Center and CITLS. We appreciate your time, and we look forward to continuing these global conversations in our next episode. Thank you.